A new Forbes Advisor study has identified the biggest financial regrets from 2023. We dive in and share some tips to help you navigate through these common concerns coming up today on Your Retirement.
Welcome in to Your Retirement with Sam Jones.
Welcome to Your Retirement, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chuck Caton for Dual Financial Strategies, and we have a full studio today with Sam Dual, Andy Schooler, Luke Van Abel joining us all, and we are happy to talk about your retirement, where their phone number is 866-203-7486. We will delve into that a little bit later on, and remember that they've got offices in the Fox Valley, both in Green Bay and in Appleton. And today we're talking about the financial regrets facing Americans this year, and we're over 4 months into 2024, and of course you know what they say about regrets, it's a form of punishment itself. So we're going to dive into ways to get beyond these common regrets as well, and let's talk, Sam, about the Forbes advisory team identifying major financial regrets that Americans had from last year, and we're breaking them down into four concerns, and topping that list: saving little or no money for retirement. Roughly one in five Americans, almost 20%, say they don't have enough for retirement. So, Sam, is this a financial regret that you anticipated topping that list?
I guess we probably don't think too much about that because we don't see those people that haven't saved enough money. It's, when people come in and visit with us, they've saved at least $250,000 for their retirement. So we're not visiting with that 20% of people who have not saved any money. I do understand that it is more of a growing trend. I believe there are more and more Americans that are not saving for retirement. There's a lot of reasons for it. It does seem to be generational, but because we tend to focus on and attract the 50 somethings and 60s going into retirement, we just don't see that on a regular basis where people have not saved enough money.
Yeah, that's good. So again, if you were hypothetically to run into people in the Fox Valley doing that, how can folks maybe prevent making that financial misstep this year?
Save the money. I mean, it's it's that simple. It really is. Saving money is a discipline.
Yeah.
And if your discipline is buying $1,000 cell phones and, $500 concert tickets and spending $9, four times a day on some sort of a fancy drink at Starbucks, you probably are not going to have the type of money that you're going to want at retirement. So saving money is a lifestyle, no different than retirement is a lifestyle. But in order to enjoy the retirement lifestyle, you have to save the money and do the hard work first in order to enjoy the fun work later.
Absolutely.
We are not a society anymore that that does delayed gratification very, very well. We want instant and total gratification at the moment. And I believe we are facing a crisis. I believe we're facing a crisis within the next one generation, probably 15 plus years from now, where retirement as it is viewed today is not going to exist any longer simply because people are not saving money.
Yeah, it behooves the next generation. And I know that being a person in my early 70s, I've taught my three boys to teach their kids that they need to save. They need to think about it, even though if you're a 15 or 20 something, the last thing you're thinking about is retirement. But it's going to come sooner than you think, and you better prepare for it. And that instant gratification that you're talking about, Sam, certainly is true with that generation of people we see today. And they're going to be behind the eight ball if they're not careful. So next on the list, Andy, is the taking advantage of interest-bearing accounts. Do enough people research high-yield savings accounts online or CDs? Well, the answer is only 15.8%. So what do you think about that financial regret where people just don't want to maximize their savings by doing some little things? What are your thoughts on that one?
Well, excuse me. I don't know that I'm totally surprised. I mean, people tend to, I think, not want to deal with what's going on right now. And so consequently, that means that it's going to take you being present right now to do some research and figure out where you can go and where's the best interest rate and how much time do you want to lock up your money for. I had an interesting I'm not going to call it an anomaly, but, you know, looking at some interest-bearing accounts locally, what we found was that the interest rate that was posted by this company was actually not the interest rate that you would receive at the end of the year because they annualize it. So if you get a less than a year CD, for instance, and the interest rate is, call it 5%, you actually don't get 5%. You get less. You get 3.8 something because they annualize that over the year. So if you're not there for an entire year, you're not going to get that complete interest rate. But it certainly seems like, and I think that was the simple interest situation, it certainly seems like, oh, you just go to the bank and get your 5% CD and the way you go, but you're not actually yielding 5%. So those are things that you kind of need to be real specific and real clear about. And especially when they don't put interest into that account until the very end of that term, do you really realize it? So your money's been locked up there for whatever, 9 months, you know, 6 months, 15 months, whatever. But you just need to make sure. So you have to do a little bit of research to understand, is this compounding interest? Is this simple interest? Is this annualized over a year? Or is this legit for the 9 months that you're actually getting this interest rate? It's not easy, but it does take a little bit of legwork and a little bit of time to go through that and figure it out.
Yeah, I think it's awareness more than anything else, and that's how people can really get ahead of this regret from 2023 that they haven't taken advantage of it. I myself had not taken advantage of it until last year when my accountant told me about these accounts, and I was always kind of leery about putting money into an online bank and getting that higher interest rate, but I think that it has served us very, very well. So I guess that's how people can get ahead of this regret from 2023, right, Andy?
Well, I mean, I don't think it requires you to go out there and go to a bank that you're not comfortable with, don't know, or is purely online.
Yeah.
Just check along with your local banking institutions, credit unions, yeah, et cetera, and see what
sometimes
they have
the
to offer.
Rates are higher.
I'm sure. But sometimes people don't feel comfortable necessarily putting their money with someone, you know, somewhere that they can't just walk into a branch and say, give me my money. I think do what is in your comfort zone, but make sure that you are understanding how that product works. Three-year annuities, 1 year, whatever you want to do, just check into it. There are options that are out there. And generally, if you don't need the money and it's just sitting in the bank, it's been sitting in the bank, perhaps look at a higher yielding, a little bit longer term CD, because that you actually will get your full interest rate on. And you would not have any taxes at the end of the year if it's not qualified.
All right, let's talk about the third regret here from 2023, Luke, and not far behind in third place of Americans' financial regrets is taking on too much credit card debt. Almost 15% of the population here, and this is certainly relatable to a lot of people in our audience. Maybe not. I mean, this, Northeastern Wisconsin, they're very conservative. They're very conscious. I know, as Sam said before, Luke, but what's the biggest issue with credit card debt right now that you're finding?
Well, I mean, generally speaking, you know, debt is a huge killer of wealth. We know this. The vast majority of people know this in Northeast Wisconsin, but there's still people that fall on hard times that are still using credit card debt to get by. And in these current economic, in this current economic climate, we're seeing, you know, $1.1 trillion in credit card debt. And the reason this is becoming more concerning is because the interest rates have, you know, not only have they risen at the bank on the CDs that Andy was talking about, but the interest rates on credit card debt has gone up nearly 30% over the last year. And the average interest rate today on a credit card is over 24%, 24% a year. So it's really hard to amass wealth. And therefore, for our audience, for those of you that are in or near retirement, it's hard to retire with a large consumer debt pool behind you.
Absolutely. And finally, Sam, failing to save money for emergencies came in fourth on Forbes' advisory list of financial regrets that folks had from 2023. And that was at 13.1%. So is it common to see folks not contributing or potentially not having an emergency fund?
Well, I mean, I guess we can well imagine that if there's a certain group of people out there that aren't saving for retirement, they're probably certainly not saving for emergency either. But again, it's not anything that we typically see with people. We often run into the challenge in our world where people come in and they have accumulated too much cash and they're just sitting on it. And as Andy was talking about before, they're not utilizing, you know, higher yielding interest accounts or something like that. But you do want to have that emergency account out there. You know, there's a lot of different things that float around about how much it should be. I think when you're younger, you probably want to have a little larger emergency account because there's, you know, more things I think that could potentially go wrong, especially if you have kids and stuff. As we get a little older, I'm not sure that the emergency accounts need to be like 6 months of your income or anything like they might recommend for someone younger. But I would typically say that if you're older, you're in retirement, you're close to retirement, just think about what's the single largest, you know, what's the single largest check that you've ever had to write? Notwithstanding, you know, like buying a house or buying a car or something like that. But just think about that. That's a very good way to think about an emergency fund is what's the largest expense I've really had to just fork over? And it was rather unexpected, whether that be furnace, air conditioner, you know, what are the big ones? What are the big ones that could happen? And then keep that amount in an emergency fund. And then maybe you pad that a little bit by 15, 20%. I don't think would be bad. But in today's world, it's just as bad having a large emergency fund that you simply have sitting in cash and you're not making the interest on it that you potentially could as not having one at all in some ways. So just have an emergency fund, but do it smart.
All right. And you might feel overwhelmed to tackle all these issues, ladies and gentlemen, but Sam will tell you that they can help you in 2024 if you have any of these issues. Right, Sam?
You bet. Yeah, we're in the business of helping people into retirement. We are not a debt reduction firm. We are not someone that's going to help you manage your debt or help you get out of debt if you are there. Unfortunately, we are not the company for that. There are companies out there that do specialize in that. But for those of you that have been diligent savers, that have been responsible, that have put the money away for retirement, and you're really looking for that firm that will take an overarching process of strategically developing what your retirement is going to look like, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. We'd love to have you sit down and talk with us about what your dreams for retirement are that you have saved for.
Absolutely. And that's very easy to do, whether you're in the Green Bay area, the Appleton area, anywhere in the Fox Valley. It's 866-203-7486. That's the number to reach Dual Financial Strategies for your retirement to get that retirement lifestyle review at no cost, no obligation to sit down with them. So again, make that phone call. Don't procrastinate. It's 866-203-7486. 866-203-7486. What's coming up in the next segment, Sam?
Do you want to go into retirement without regrets? Well, then stick around for tips on how to enjoy a carefree retirement. You don't want to miss this conversation.
And we are back here on Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with Andy Schooler, Luke Van Abel, and of course, Sam Duell of Duell Financial Strategies. Everybody's in the studio this week. And of course, they specialize in giving you that retirement lifestyle review. They've got an office in Appleton, one in Green Bay. And again, their phone number, in case you missed it before the break, is 866-203-7486. So we're going to undo the regrets and talk about going into retirement without regrets, as Sam said, and planning for retirement again is very challenging. People know that. There's no doubt about it. But unfortunately, when it comes to retirement, mistakes can cost you significantly. So what's the goal? It's to plan correctly to avoid experiencing the fallout that comes with the most common retirement planning regrets. So we're going to cover some of these retirement regrets and how you can steer clear of some of these potholes along that road to your retirement. And we'll start with Sam. You probably, well, maybe you do or don't see, but one of the pitfalls people could fall into is not saving enough or not starting early enough to save for retirement, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a long-term thing. You know, it's saving for retirement is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And it's not something that is simple to do or easy to do. And I would almost say could be virtually impossible to do if you're waiting into your 50s to start saving for retirement. You simply do not have enough time to amass the amount of money that's necessary for you to retire. It's just not mathematically possible to do that. So you've got to get started early. You've got to be talking to your kids and your grandkids about saving money, because if you're waiting until you're well into your 40s or your 50s to get started, you're just not going to make the finish line. So start early. Develop saving as a habit. Do all of the things that you need to do, but you're going to have to defer some gratification in order to make that happen. Because yes, not saving enough is very much tied to not starting early enough.
That's the key. So I guess that's the one tip that folks who haven't started saving or not saving enough, that they can apply to the plan. Do it, I guess, is the best thing. I mean, you just got to be, as you said earlier in the show, be disciplined, right, Sam?
You got to be disciplined. I mean, discipline is how you get through these things. Discipline is what makes all of this work. And if you need to sit down with someone, like I said, maybe you need to sit down with a savings counselor or a debt counselor or something like that, so that they can help you. I mean, the most simple way is, I remember when the kids were small, we used the envelope system. It's like, how much money do you have coming in every month? That's all you got to spend. You don't have any more. You don't get to put money on a charge card because you just had to go on that weekend trip. No, you take the cash that you have available. You put it in the form of cash. You put out an envelope for mortgage. You put out an envelope for taxes. You put out an envelope for groceries, so on and so forth. And you put what the percentage of money is that you need to fund those things, along with an envelope for your retirement and along with an envelope for your emergency savings. You put that money in there. And if it's an expenditure, when it's gone, it's gone. You do not get to dip unless you can figure out a way to give it somewhere else, but you do not touch that retirement money and you do not touch that emergency money. Needing to go to a concert on the weekend because your friends asked you is not an emergency.
Absolutely. We need a government to do the same thing, too. I'll send
that would
the
be helpful, too. Yeah, everybody's sure. An emergency in their world.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about avoiding regrets in retirement in this segment of Your Retirement with Sam, Andy, and Luke. And Andy, let's break down this one now. Not including both spouses in the process of planning. So do you run into this often or not, where maybe the husband and wife or the partners are not on the same page when it comes to retirement planning?
Fortunately here, we don't get a great deal of spouses that are not on the same page. I think that would be the anomaly to the rule. most of the people are on the same page when they come in and see us. And then it's just a matter of tweaking and figuring out what's the best way to utilize the assets that they have in order to make it work for both parties. Now, what I do see commonly, or more commonly, is that not each spouse is confident or feels comfortable with the advisors that they're working with. So I think that's a bigger situation or a bigger issue to deal with, is making sure that both people are comfortable with whomever you're working with. And what we do see is oftentimes if the husband has passed away first, the wife may change advisors because she didn't ever feel really heard by the advisor. So that's something that you have to contend with and make sure that both parties do feel comfortable with whomever you're working with, so that when you do have a major life change, be it a loss of a loved one, be it a divorce, be it whatever, you do have someone that you feel comfortable working with and understanding. They don't speak over you. They, you know, include you in the conversations, make sure that you're comfortable with what's going on, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just, it is part of the process and it should include both people.
Absolutely true. So that's your recommendation, right? When it comes to couples preparing for and planning for retirement that they're dreaming of, they got to be on the same page. They've got to feel, and you probably make both people comfortable yourself. I mean, you've got that kind of personality that how could they hate you, right?
Well, I sure hope not. Don't work with me if you do.
Well, it's one of those things, too. And it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, to have your significant other on the same page. I know in my situation, my wife could care less about what the nitty-gritty. I mean, she knows what's going on. And when we meet with our advisor, she actually does participate at that time. Now, we meet a couple of times a year, and she comes out of her financial shell, so to speak, to ask those kinds of questions, because I encourage that, because even though I'm the one that pays the bills, I'm the one that does a lot of the financial machinations in the Caton family, she still has that input and she still has that awareness of what's going on. So that's, I guess, what we're talking about there. So you don't have any regrets, and you can make that process easier when you do that. All right, Luke, let's talk about that final regret here that you want to avoid, and that is that big fear that a lot of retirement, and maybe you have people that say this, I don't know if I'm going to outlive my money or not. Spending too much too early is a fear, I think, with some retirees. Do you find that?
Yes, we do all the time. More so on the fear of running out of money. You know, there's this tendency for folks to spend money, can be, more aggressively in those first few years of retirement, you know, perhaps because it's, you know, you're waiting to take that big vacation. Maybe you're waiting to buy that retirement vehicle, whatever it might be. But that can be dangerous. So if you don't have that financial roadmap and you don't know, you know, what you're going to spend and when and where you're going to spend it, then there can be some struggles when it comes to this. It can be very difficult for people to make this transition from, you know, working, having that regular paycheck to now spending the money that they've always seen grow, right? Because they've made contributions, the investments have grown over time. And now psychologically, even though they know that money's for retirement income, it's hard for them to start taking it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So how do you help those folks navigate that so they're able to manage that money correctly in retirement?
People fall into two different camps. You know, that's what I was just alluding to. You know, some people are the spenders, some people are the savers. And so we need to help identify and basically customize our advice to each and every person, each and every family that we're working with, because it's our job as advisors to help people retire and stay retired without the threat of having to go back to work or doing something else. So we need to make smart decisions. We need to have a plan for the money and know where each dollar is going. Like Sam was alluding to before with the envelope system, the envelope system allows for accountability. We still need to have accountability in retirement with our income, even if we're not using the envelope system.
All right. So Sam, let's wrap up this segment by saying, how does that roadmap that Luke's talking about incorporate how much folks will be spending in retirement? And is it as simple as that envelope system? Is the amount the same every month? Does it come from the same place? I guess these are questions that people in retirement have to ask themselves. And maybe you can walk us through that process.
Well, I mean, the first thing you're going to do in retirement is you're going to establish that lifestyle budget. How much is it going to cost you to maintain the lifestyle that you want to lead in retirement, and come up with a number, you know, whether that's $6,000 a month, $3,000 a month, $8,000 a month. We see numbers all over the board, but find out what your retirement lifestyle number is. And I find a lot of times it's easier for people to look that in a 30-day time frame rather than trying to forecast out for years. So how much money do you need a month? That's the first thing you got to do, because we have to now balance against how much you need against how much you have coming in. So I've got this much. I've got $6,000 flowing out the door. How much do I have coming in the door? Okay, I've got a couple of Social Securities in there. And let's say that your two Social Securities combined are $40,000 a year. So that's going to be what? About $3,500 a month, something like that. So calculate how much money do you have going out? How much money do I have coming in? Oh, I got my Social Security. I got my pension. Now we know what our guaranteed income is. Now we can establish what is your gap. Well, we've identified that you have a $2,000 a month gap against your income, meaning you're going to have to pull that from your retirement account. Well, now we may have to start making decisions on where is that money going to come from. Do we take that from market-based investments? Do you want to purchase some type of a retirement product that will give you guaranteed income, like annuities and things like that? Where's the $2,000 going to come from? We have to establish that. And then we have to make sure that that number is feasible and doable within the context of how much you have saved. That's where that number a lot of times will come in, around 3-4%.
All right.
So that's how you build the roadmap. First of all, we have to know where we're going, how far are we going, and then we can start building road income to say, okay, I have guaranteed income here. I have what we would call discretionary income over there. That's the whole goal in building a retirement roadmap.
Absolutely, and that's that retirement lifestyle review you always talk about as well, right?
That is. That's exactly where it starts at, and that is exactly what a first meeting with us is going to look like. We're going to go over all of that with you. We're going to take a look at where you're at today. Where do you want to get to? Probably recommend, if we feel that it's feasible for you, doing a riskalyze analysis, and then just take it one step at a time to determine, can you get where you're going? And if so, How are we going to do it?
All right. And Sam has penned a book, Purpose Determines Placement. We'll give you a free copy of that, too, when you come in and get that no cost, no obligation assessment of your retirement to see where you are going. And it's easy to do that. They've got an office in Appleton, one in Green Bay, and the number to reach them to make that no cost, no obligation appointment is toll free. It's 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. And Luke, Andy, and Sam are at your service with over, well, close to a quarter of a century now of experience in the world as the fiduciary world of helping you through retirement as retirement planners. 866-203-7486. We'll be back with more. And Sam, what's coming up next?
When we come back, we'll break down the latest economic news and what the headlines might mean for your finances. Stay tuned.
We're back on Your Retirement. I'm Chuck Caton, along with Andy Schooler, Luke Van Abel, and of course, Sam Duell of Duell Financial Strategies, where their number is 866-203-7486. No cost, no obligation to sit down and discuss your retirement. If you're in that retirement red zone 5 to 7 years before you want to hang it up from work, remember, they've got an office in Green Bay. They've got another one in Appleton. So when you're listening to us here in the Fox Valley, be certainly aware of that. Now, we're going to cover a few of the big headlines with the help of some dignitary, financial dignitaries. And I don't know if Sam, Andy, or Luke will agree or disagree with some of these people, but we've got the help of financial planning professionals to help you get a better handle on the different ways that stories may impact your financial future here, because things have always been volatile. So let's kick it off with David Kostin, who is the chief U.S. equity strategist for Goldman Sachs, as he joined CNBC's Squawk on the Street, and he discussed the market and share his forecast for what the future holds.
What are we seeing now for the first quarter results? We're about 16% of the way through earnings season. We've seen thus far most of the companies, about 65% of the companies, have actually beat consensus expectations on the bottom line, and about a third have beat expectations on the top line. What that suggests to us is that companies are able and have been demonstrating the ability to kind of squeak over a little bit margin, and margin is basically hold there until a little bit higher. There was some desire to try to raise prices, but it didn't get that strong indication there's a lot of inflation coming. So our forecast is that the market rises slowly in line with expectations for earnings.
All right. So, Sam, what do you think of Mr. Kostin, and is he on the money with this forecast?
Yeah. Totally generic what he said.
Vanilla,
we believe the market,
ice.
We believe the market rises slowly in line with expectations of earnings. It's like, yeah. Could you possibly be more ambiguous than that? But no, overall, we do agree. We believe that the stock market as a whole, it does have some positive tailwinds behind it right now. We're starting to see some loosening in some areas. We're starting to see some strengthening in other areas. We are in an election year this year, which traditionally bodes well for the market. One little kind of funny little factoid is that the market about 3/4 of the time will increase in the year following a peak interest rate hike. So interest rates topped out in 2023, which would allude to potential market rise. But yeah, the numbers are looking good for a lot of companies. The biggest thing that we're seeing right now is not necessarily the companies and what their growth is, but what the economy is doing. And most of you probably remember here a couple of weeks ago, we had several quite rough days in the market that could be directly attributed to the first quarter report that the economy had weakened. So, you know, these things all go in cycles, and you always have to be aware of that. Seldom is what we're talking about today going to be what's driving the market. It's what happened 30 days ago or 90 days ago or some period ago, right? If you see something where there are drastic swings in the market, that's usually noise. That's usually some sort of an event that causes that. But the fundamentals of it usually are dated back anywhere from 1 month to 3 months. But overall, we do feel positive about the market. The overall state of the economy, I don't know, Chuck. It's it goes from one side to the other.
Yeah.
The economy seems rather strong. We drive past restaurants and do things like that, and the parking lots are full, and all of those sorts of things. Everybody's out and about in the grocery stores. It's not like the malls are deserted or anything. But we do remain concerned about people's ability to be able to produce money to spend. And I believe a lot of the spending now is probably coming from more of the retired segment, because the younger groups are fighting inflation and things like that. So if the politicians don't rein in their insatiable, their insatiable spending habits, we are quite concerned for the economy long term. I don't know how we sustain it. But if we could ever, which I know this is a pipe dream, but if we could ever come up with people in politics that actually exercise some level of fiscal responsibility, we think we could see some positive effects from that.
Yeah, I concur with that. Well, J.P. Morgan Chase Chair and CEO Jamie Dimon joined the Economic Club of New York last week, Andy, and Dimon weighed in on the state of the economy himself and what's in store for the average consumer. And he remains very optimistic about the impact of even a potential recession and what that would have on folks.
The American consumer, even if we go into a recession, is much wealthier than before. Debt service ratios are very low. They're normalizing now, and credit is, we say it's normalized, it's not gotten worse, but they have, it's still the lowest it's ever been pretty much on record. Their home prices are up, their stock prices are up. Remember, 50% of people don't owe money at all. And so even if we go to a recession, the consumer's in good shape. But that doesn't mean you can fight off the effects of stagflation or something like that if it gets much worse.
All right, so help us break this one down, because there was a lot of ground covered, even though that clip was very short. So what's your initial takeaway of what Dimon's assessment is?
I'd like to meet the people that he's talking to that have no debt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's, you know, it's very...
Well, I think a lot of retired people.
I'll raise my hand. I don't have any.
I mean, who is he referencing? I mean, he's talking about the average consumer. Well, who's his average consumer? I mean, in our retirement world, yeah, I would agree. A lot more people are debt-free going into retirement, but not the average consumer out there. I mean, if you talk to or look at the numbers, they're projecting over $5,000 more in credit card debt alone, just because people can't afford the inflation that's going on right now. So I guess I have additional questions that I need clarification from him on, because I don't entirely agree with what he's saying, that everything is sort of rosy. Again, I think a lot of these guys talk very generically, and it's very politically sort of sounding, where it's, you know, lip service, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think there's reason to be optimistic at this time, but I also think there's caution that should be taken. And how are you positioning? I don't think it's maybe the best time to go, you know, full on gung ho, Mach 3 hair on fire investor. There are pockets that you could do that. And there are, you know, if you want to siphon off some of your money and put it into a separate account so it's not everything that you're doing, and go play some market stuff, fine. But to just take all of your money willy-nilly, go to the market and say, yeah, throw it all on black. No, I disagree with that thought process.
Absolutely. All right. And we won't even, I know there's a lot of deer hunting done there, but we won't even talk about stagflation. So we'll get some thoughts on that a little bit later on. But BlackRock Chairman and CEO Larry Fink sat down with Bloomberg, shining the light on the looming retirement crisis that is plaguing Americans. And he joined Bloomberg's David Westin in a discussion, Luke, where he explained the importance of retiring with dignity.
The acute problem here in the United States is that we have still 57 million Americans who don't have any savings or any retirement plan. Social Security is a fantastic foundation for retirement, but if that's all you have when you retire, you're going to be living in poverty, below the poverty line, because it just is not, it's supplemental, but it's not meant to be the totality of what you have in retirement. And the whole concept of we're aging, we're all living longer. And I think one of the big narratives I've had to reflect in 2023 was the miracles of medicine, of technology, and how it transforms our lives and extends our life. There is not a dialogue in America or most places about, can we afford that longevity?
All right, and he also brings up a good point on that longevity department and how it impacts the planning process.
Our entire retirement system was based on statistics that were created 50 years ago, whereby most Americans retired between 60 and 62 then, but most Americans then passed away at 67. And today, statistically, a couple 60 years old in good health, one of them is going to live over 90.
All right. So, Luke, what about that? There's a lot to impact in that set of comments there by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Fake. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he made a lot of really good comments on his last one where he's talking about statistics from 50 years ago. My mind immediately goes to those drawing Social Security, the taxation on Social Security, which is so important when you're retirement planning. A lot of people are missing the boat on the tax piece. But the formula for calculating Social Security tax has not been adjusted for. The formula is the same. The chart that that income is put on has not been adjusted for inflation since Social Security started well over 50 years ago. So he's got many good thought-provoking questions here. You know, can you afford this longevity? Can you afford, you know, 50% of a couple today making it to 90 years old? Can your retirement funds last that long? In addition, you know, there's many other risks that retirees face in addition to longevity, but building a retirement plan, building out some guaranteed income sources, having some other income sources coming in when your mailbox money goes away is going to be so important. We'll leave alone the fact that 57 million people don't have a retirement plan, but for those of you that are closer to retirement, hopefully you do have some, and hopefully you're not just relying on Social Security alone, because I agree that it is a foundation. It's a supplement to the other things that you're doing.
Absolutely. So Sam, this is where you can help people discern all of that and make sure that they are saving more than just Social Security and depending on that for retirement.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the retirement lifestyle review is all about. It's a review. What will your retirement lifestyle look like, and how will your retirement lifestyle be structured? We've helped people every day of the week. We've helped thousands of people over the years. We'd love to visit with you, love to get a copy of the book in your hands. So call the number. Chuck's going to give it to you. Come in and see us in our Green Bay office or in our Appleton office, and let's see what your retirement looks like. I would say that, you know, people that come in and visit with us, we do need for you to have saved at least $250,000 towards your retirement. Otherwise, I don't know what questions we would be able to answer for you. We'd be happy to talk with you on the phone, perhaps. But do make that call. Let's get together and talk, and let's see where you're at in your whole retirement lifestyle cycle.
All right. It's very valuable, that retirement lifestyle review that Sam is talking about, and it's easy to get it. It just takes a phone call, 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. And you can talk to Sam and your Luke because it is about your retirement. It is entirely constructed for you. And again, as Sam said, they've got an office in Green Bay and one in Appleton to help you and get that retirement lifestyle review that'll get you on the road to a wonderfully fruitful retirement. It's 866-203-7486. All right, we've come to the end of the meat of the show, but we've got one more segment, Sam.
We do, and that's the segment that everybody always looks forward to. You've got questions, we've got answers for you. That's coming up right after this.
Your retirement concluding here. Chuck Caton with Sam, Andy, and Luke. Abdul Financial Strategy, Sam Duell, Andy Schooler, Luke Van Abel, Your Retirement, and it's 866-203-7486. Happy to be with them each and every week here in Northeast Wisconsin, because they've got offices in Appleton and in Green Bay. And it's question and answer time. There are four people who have queued up here, Sam, to ask questions. So is everybody ready?
Yeah, we're ready to roll.
All right, let's go to Lenny in Grand Chute. And Sam, he's got this question for you. How should an individual retirement account be managed? Should I pay my taxes now, receive my money tax-free later? Can the taxes owed on the rollover be deducted directly from the rollover account itself?
So, Lenny, as far as managing an IRA account, that's entirely up to what your risk tolerances and your risk capacities are. We see things all over the board. We see people that have all of their money in the market. We see people that want to have all of their money sheltered and inside of protecting devices. We see people that have splits. So that's what that risk-alized analysis is all about for us, is determining what number you're at, what level you're at, and then making decisions on what would be the best split of asset classes for you. Should you pay your taxes now and receive your money tax-free later? It really depends a lot on what tax bracket you're in now, and how much money you could possibly convert from regular IRA to Roth IRA without creeping into another tax bracket. For example, let's say you're in a 22% tax bracket right now, and you believe when you retire you're going to be in a 12% tax bracket. Well, mathematically, I'm not sure how much sense that would make to do a conversion, considering the fact that you're going to be at a 10% lower level when you retire than you are now. So that really is that's a tax question. That's something that you have to determine with a calculator based upon what your current and future tax brackets are predicted to be. And with your question is, can the taxes on the rollover be deducted directly from the rollover account itself? The answer to that is yes. You can have taxes deducted from the rollover. However, you should never under any circumstances do that. Again, that's another one of those that makes zero sense to do. This is amazing to me because we see the vast majority of average advisors that will never, ever answer a tax question for you or give you tax advice, yet they're very happy to tell you you should do a Roth conversion and deduct the money from the rollover. Makes no sense to do that, Lenny, because our whole purpose here is to get money from a taxable scenario to a non-taxable scenario. So if you're going to end up paying 22% in state and federal taxes on the rollover, you've effectively reduced the value of your tax-free account by that much. Well, you're going to have to get a 40%+ rate of return on that just to get yourself back to where you started at. If you don't have cash available to pay the tax bill on a Roth conversion, moving from a regular IRA or 401k to a Roth, I'm not sure how much sense it makes for you to do it, because you're literally just burying yourself in another tax hole.
Yeah, absolutely true. And I can speak from personal experience that I do just what you said, Sam. If I can't pay the taxes out of other funds, when I did a couple of Roth conversions for my wife, it wouldn't have made any sense to do it.
No.
But we did it.
You're reducing the value of your secondary asset. And just, I mean, the taxes have to be paid, but you don't pay the taxes as a reduction in value of the tax-free asset.
Absolutely true. All right, let's go to Nina. And Vincent is there for Andy. And, he's got a compliment for you here. Nice to hear somebody explaining finances in plain English and plain speak. I enjoy the show very much. You talk about steady income in retirement. So, Andy, how do you build that?
Well, thanks for the question, Vincent. First, I mean, I guess I would start with, what assets do you have presently? What are you educated in that regard? Because let's face it, there's tools are everywhere. And knowing and understanding how those tools work is really what you need to focus on. So for instance, if someone is trying to sell you something, ask them why. How is that going to benefit me? You know, the example that comes to my mind is, what's the difference between variable annuity and a fixed or fixed indexed annuity? Well, there's a lot of variables when it comes to that. So you need to understand what's the difference, because in truth, do you really need to position yourself in a, for instance, variable annuity, which is going to have higher fees? It's going to be subject to market losses. And if you're trying to create a steady income from that, that can be a little bit more challenging. So maybe using a fixed or a fixed index annuity might serve the purpose just fine. I don't know. So without looking at your specific situation, it's hard for me to say, well, how do you build that? Well, I mean, my thought initially would be, anytime that we're talking about a income stream that you cannot outlive, that is an annuity. Life insurance, obviously, is if you were to pass away too soon, you would leave your beneficiaries with a tax-free, probate-free entity or block of money. But if you are looking to create income that you cannot outlive, then looking at an annuity is a good way to do that. But again, I get a little bit frustrated with the talking heads on television or on the radio, because they oftentimes will just sort of generalize and say, oh, you should never own a annuity, but they never are specific with what type of annuity there are. There is single premium immediate annuities, there's fixed indexed annuities, there's variable annuities. The list goes on. So from a standpoint of just knowing and understanding what you are trying to accomplish, what you actually need your money to do, the the thing that crosses my mind always when we're talking about an income stream is annuities.
All righty, let's go to Margot in Appleton. Luke, Margot's got a question for you. And this is something that rankles me every time I watch television. I see all of these pitch men and pitch women talking about gold. Well, she says she's been getting that and a lot of calls and emails about buying precious metals or converting IRA into gold. Is this legitimate? And if so, is it smart?
Hi, Margot. Great question. We get this question all the time, especially in the interest rate environment we're in now. We do see the gold bugs out there. And for the first questions really come down to what is the goal with the money? You know, what is the goal of taking IRA and putting it in gold and silver? Is it protection? Is it a hedge against inflation? Is it a means of exchange, you know, an alternative means of exchange to the dollar? So what's the goal and what's the purpose? Because the answer to that question, maybe it's one of those three camps, maybe it's something else, is going to determine some of the answer to this. Is it legitimate? Yes. I mean, gold, silver, it's an asset class that exists out there. It's a part of many people's portfolios. You can own it in many different ways. But we also have to remember that over the long term, gold and silver has been a pretty terrible investment compared to many other ones. So certain time periods, maybe. But if we're talking about taking an entire IRA and putting it into gold, now we own 100% of the eggs in the basket are the same thing. They're part of the same asset class. So legitimate, yes. Smart, maybe not so much, especially in that IRA basket, because there's been some challenges with that. This one hits close to home for me because many years ago, I had a couple come to me. They both had gold IRAs. That were sold to them by a brother-in-law or something like that. And in order to, they were done with them. They hadn't performed well and they wanted to move out of them. And it was an absolute nightmare.
Fees were unbelievably high.
Fees were high. Getting the money out of it was ridiculous. We had to jump through all sorts of hoops to get this done.
Didn't it take you like 4 months or something?
It took forever.
Yeah.
It took forever. It was...
Yeah. Don't think you're going
to get it.
Took
them forever. We researched it. I recall you researching that, but literally the company that was holding the IRA account, they had to do every piece of the legwork for selling that gold. It was very easy to get into.
Yes.
Not quite so easy to get out of.
Right. And for retirees, I mean, the vast majority of clients that come talk to us are in or near retirement. The other challenge we see with, you know, having 100% of your assets in a gold or silver IRA is what is going to happen when you need to take a required distribution at 73 years old. You've got to start taking some money out of that account. So this can cause some challenges as well.
All right. Final question here very quickly, Samuel in Green Bay. And this is a tough one for you, Sam. 65 years old, no retirement, only benefits from Social Security. Sam in Green Bay says, how can I begin saving? Or more importantly, where do I begin? 65 with no retirement savings. Wow.
You know, I hate to hear that, Samuel, but I think where you begin is getting a job. If you are able-bodied and able to work, please don't take this the wrong way, but you can't afford to be retired. The work job market for experienced workers today is better than it's ever been in history. There's never been a better time to be in the labor force. The pay is very, very high. You can make a very nice amount of money to help supplement your lifestyle and to help supplement your savings simply by going out and doing something part-time. And as I said, employers today are begging. They are begging and pleading experienced people to come to work for them. Literally allowing employees to almost make their own terms on when they can work, how they can work, where they would work, simply because they need the experience, because we have a crisis in the United States right now where we literally have, Andy, what did you tell me, between 6 and 7 million?
7 to 8 million.
7 to 8 million.
Men, ages 18, adult 25 men, to 45, yeah, not working.
Not working. Just sitting home in their basements. Looking at their iPhones.
I feel like they're going to have questions in 30 years.
They
like,
may have questions. Are there not? It's like, I don't. So Samuel, I don't want to be a downer, but really at this point in time, the only way that you're going to be able to save any money is by generating a revenue source, which would be some type of work.
All right. So let's, ladies and gentlemen, work on this. If you've got money for retirement, and as Sam said earlier, at least $250,000, they'll work with you at Dual Financial Strategies with over 25 years of experience. And here it is, Green Bay, Appleton. They've got two offices. And if you give them a call, they'll give you that retirement lifestyle review that you've been looking for at 866-203-7486. That's 866-203-7486. And Sam has the book, Purpose Determines Placement. And for Samuel, our last caller, you better place yourself, as Sam said, with some sort of employment. He'll give you that book. It's in its third printing. So, again, 866-203-7486 is the number to reach Dual Financial Strategies. And remember, they've got two offices in the Fox Valley, one in Appleton and one in Green Bay. Well, it's been a great show, all. Sam, your final thoughts?
Oh, appreciate everybody tuning in. You can always catch us on the television, be on the weekends, be on the radio shows, and then join us here again next week.
Investment advisory services offered through Dual Financial Strategies, LLC, a Wisconsin registered investment advisor. Dual Financial Strategies does not provide legal or tax advice. Investment advisor representatives of Dual Financial Strategies may only conduct business with residents of the states and jurisdictions in which they are properly registered. Insurance and annuity products are sold through Dual Financial Strategies.